Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. I was talking to Gary from Louisiana, and he said he had two stocks that were the same. And I just realized that one of them was the preferred. So there was a preferred, Gary, that I guess you own. It was one of the preferreds that was on my broad list, and I took it off my broad list. If you own it, keep it. I didn't put a sell. I just didn't want anybody to buy it because it's no longer what they call cumulative. I don't think that's an issue. So it's the preferred of the company that you own the common share of. So you have the common share of this company, and you own the preferred of the same company. So the preferred, of course, is part of the income portfolio. It's paying about 1.5% more income than is the common share. So I hope you're still listening, Gary, but that's where you got different, where you have both stocks, same company. One is a financial, one of them is the utility stock, and one is the financial of that. So remember, it doesn't matter if the preferred is issued by an oil company, a real estate investment, a utility, a bank, whatever it is, it's irrelevant. It's always a financial. It should never be in the sector that is the underlying common share of the stock. So just because it's a utility company, it is not a utility. It's a financial because a preferred is a debt instrument. It is something that is it's a bond. It's something that they use so that they can raise money and you finance that. For your financing it, they are paying you 5.5% or whatever it is. So it's always a financial because it's a financial instrument. Okay, so hopefully that maybe clears it up a little bit. So I'm glad I was digging around. I was trying to think. And then I checked one of the utilities that I took off my, one of the preferreds that I took off the list. I took five off. If you remember way back in the day, I had them on my list and I talked about that I was taking them off and I explained why. But anyway, all right, let me go to Bill. No, I'm sorry, Rick from Mississippi. Hey, Rick.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
A question. I've got now have the option of being able to fully fund my 401k at the, I believe it's 25K.
Uh-huh.
And I also have the ability to both fund a Roth IRA and a spousal Roth IRA at the same time, to fully fund those. Is there any downside to that I might be missing? Because it seems like that's a good way to squirrel away money for retirement.
Well, it is. The only issue I would have with it, I wouldn't want all my wealth in qualified money when I retire that the government can control. And if you're putting that much away in your 401k, and then you're going to put all that money away in your retirement plan, as far as I'm concerned, it's too much money to have subject to the long reach of the government and the rules and regulations of the government. I'm okay. Everybody should do some IRA money. But one of the problems that everybody seems to have, and I see it over and over and over again, forget the government side of it, but people have all their money in retirement money, and they have no flexibility. They have no freedom. And, you know, they've got all their wealth locked up in and retirement money. So I don't ever think that's a good idea as a practice. I don't think it's a good idea, especially now when we're looking at $22 trillion worth of debt on our balance sheet, and we could very easily get a type of, we get the kind of government that is running for office in 2020, the liberal side of the Democratic Party, that money, you might as well just say goodbye to it, because they're going to be commandeering as much money as they possibly can. So I wouldn't do it, but yes, it's an okay thing to do, but I'd rather squirrel away that money in a joint investment account that is separate from. Do you have some tax disadvantages? I guess somebody could argue that. I don't think they're disadvantages, but yeah, you don't have the same advantages as you would in a IRA account. But if it's a traditional IRA, there is no advantage, and there is an advantage in a Roth IRA for sure. But again, if you're fully funding your 401k and you've got a lot more years to work, that'd be enough for me.
Well, I don't have a lot more. I've got about six or so.
Okay.
The other part of it is that in my company's 401k, they only allow us to use mutual funds and Fidelity.
Yeah.
So my 401k is basically in the Timothy. How do I balance that against your asset allocation model for my other account?
Well, you can balance that. You have to balance that under the Timothy asset allocation. You can list it in your second account, but you have to balance it based on the Timothy asset allocation model.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you so very much, Dan. Have a great day.
All right, Rick. God bless. Thank you. Here comes our ag report, and we'll be right back after that.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the agricultural futures markets are closed today in observation of President's Day and will be reopening with the start of the evening session tonight. On Friday, the corn market enjoyed another quiet, choppy, two-sided trade. We did have the announcement of 205,000 metric tons of corn being sold in the export markets on Friday, so that was a ray of sunshine. Looking across the fruited plain, it seems as if the cash export markets are still strong, with virtually all export locations posting higher basis numbers than they were showing a week ago. Later this month, we're going to get the USDA's Outlook Conference, but for now, it would appear as if the corn-soybean ratio is not going to discourage the planting of soybeans. Early spring weather may turn out to be the biggest factor in the breakdown between corn and soybean acres this year. The soybean market made an attempt to bounce off the trend line support on Friday. The market was aided in this effort by the January crush report. The NOPA January soybean crush came in at 171.63 million bushels, which was a January record, as well as being above the average trade guess of 169.5 million bushels. It's also the fourth biggest monthly crush number ever. China continues to be a big story in this market, with Chinese officials indicating on Friday that everything was still going well in the trade talks. Wheat was lower once again as it tries to buy its way back into the world export market. I'm not sure that Friday's lower session helped us accomplish that, as the Paris wheat market was a dime lower in their session as well. Algeria was in the market for wheat and ended up buying 600,000 metric tons of French wheat, as we in the U.S. missed all of that business. After a sharply lower close last Monday, cotton futures have been consolidating into a tight trading range. And on Friday, they were marginally higher, with March futures up 8 points to close at 70.22. Livestock futures had another split session, with cattle lower and hogs higher this go-round. April live cattle ended the week on a down note, with April futures closing down $1.20 on Friday. And March feeder cattle were also weaker, as they closed $1.47.5 lower for the session. April lean hogs posted a stronger close, as they were up 82.5 cents for the day. March Class 3 milk futures slipped a bit on Friday, as they finished down 3 points at 14.53. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 78 cents higher at 216.85. Selects were 58 cents higher for the day as they settled at 210.99. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 20.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
So Paul on Facebook is saying, Dan, my 91-year-old father says, I'm shocked at how much I owe, a little over 600, a little more than 716. I've always had some refund coming back. Now I will also owe a penalty for not withholding, enough from my pension. And apparently he's blaming it all on the Trump administration. The only thing I can suggest to you, Paul, is to, if you do your own taxes by any chance, and you've got last year's TurboTax still in your computer, I would redo his tax with him, showing had he withheld enough that he should have from his pension and didn't have the penalty, that he'd probably be getting more back. People in his situation, I don't know of anybody that's got any problems. So it's got nothing to do with the Trump tax plan. I know it's easy to blame it on that, but I would suggest that next year everything's going to be fine. But I would at least try to, if you want, you don't have to go through all that aggravation, but it's probably not going to be that very hard. But if you went back and did the taxes as if, that's the beauty of TurboTax, you can do different as if scenarios. You can go back and do it, and you'll find out that what has happened is the penalties and interest are the main culprit as to why that's not happening. But you know, so now, and the worst part is about it, now that it's even going to add a little fuel to the fire is, I don't know if they will, but they may require him now to do some estimated taxes for 2020, even though this was just a one-off. In other words, this was just a lack of withholding and a couple other issues with penalties, but they won't look at that. They'll only look at, wait a minute, you're paying money now, so therefore we're going to make you pay quarterly taxes next year. They do it all, you know, that's what they do. Then of course the following year you won't have to, because you're going to be getting money back. So I mean, it's crazy, but it's got nothing to do with that. And I'm worried, I would worry about the same thing as you said. Yeah, I'm worried about my father's money and so on and so forth, but more worried about President Trump losing votes from his base. Not, I don't think it's going to happen. If they do, if they would be so foolish as to not vote for Trump, they ain't seen nothing yet. Have they listened to the Democrats and what they want to do? We're going to see taxes. They're already building a case. Now, I've never seen a candidate ever win in my lifetime that professed already before the election cycle really officially begins, where they're already talking about raising taxes. I've never seen anybody win under those circumstances, but if they're saying what they're going to do now, it's going to be twice as bad as what they say, and it's going to be ugly. And of course, then it'll be too late to do anything about it. But so, you know, maybe I think you just, you know, I would be more upset over the people, his human resources department, for not giving him a heads up on what he should have been withholding. I mean, I think that's the bigger problem than anything. All right, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Bill in Oklahoma. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I gave Darlene the ticker number, but I don't even see it on the broad list anymore, so I can't give you the FISM code number.
Yeah. It's not on the broad list anymore. That's the one that I took off when I took that six or seven, how many I took off the preferred list some time ago. And that's one of them. that I took off. So it's not showing up on the broad list. I didn't really take it off the broad list. I just made it so nobody could see it because I didn't want people putting their money into it because I know income investors especially will buy off the broad list even though that's one of my biggest, you know, no-nos. They go to the broad list and they search, start searching for yield and they buy off the broad list. So I didn't want that to happen, so I took it off altogether.
Okay. In trying to adjust my asset allocation model on preferreds, that particular one is up like 8%, but since it's hinged on par value, how does that work? What should I expect if I try to sell something like that?
So you won't. So right now, you know, it's selling for, let me just see where my, I don't have it. I'm looking at something totally different. Let me just see where it is because I don't know where it is right now. But so it's selling for $1.50 over par. So it is not, I mean, it is, you could get, if you sold it, you could get, you'll probably get something over par. I won't say what it's going to be. I don't know, but I suspect you'll get something over par. I would think the worst case scenario is you'll get a bid for par. There will be some bids for below par, but hopefully your broker will call you and say, hey, we got a bid. I can sell it right now for $25.50 or, you know, $24.30 or whatever they might get. But because the next stated call date is out to April 21, I would suspect that you'll probably still get something over par.
Okay. Okay, very
and
good.
I wouldn't be anxious to sell it unless you're looking to cut back and to take some profits. But even though it's not on my broad list, it's not something that it was, you know, that you have to sell. But I took it off because their dividends don't accumulate. And now, and I don't like that. I think someday that's all we're going to have because nobody's going to put out cumulative dividends. And what that means is if they miss a dividend payment, you won't get it. It's gone. Because it's not accumulating to the next payout, and then you get it with that, like some of the others. And I don't see that happening. This is not a highly rated company, but it's pretty strong. Financially, it's strong. But so that's why. So there was some that all changed at a certain time, and I took them off the broad list. This was one of them.
Okay, is that pretty much the case with the others that you removed as well?
Yes.
As far as not accumulating the dividend?
Yep, that's the same case. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, appreciate it, Dan. Thanks
a lot
for your ministry.
All right, Bill, thank you. I appreciate your partnership. Let me go to Fran. Fran's calling us from New Mexico. Hi, Fran.
Hello, Dan. I have a question because it certainly sounds like a biblically responsible fund, but you never know.
Right.
And you just don't know. And the symbol is CATH. Is that all you need to know? I have a little more information if you need more than the symbol.
Let me just look one other place.
It's an ETF fund.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the fund. Let me try this. I've got two categories here, and I'm just trying to figure out where it falls into. Boy, it is not coming up for me. I don't know why. You said, here it is. That isn't even close. As a matter of fact, wow, that may be one of the worst funds I've ever seen. Very, very heavily, it's very heavily invested in abortion, pornography, and the redefinition of marriage, alcohol, smoking, and gambling. Okay. It's pretty much got everything in it.
Yeah.
Is not good, and it makes me sad to say that, because one would think it would be at least not have abortion in it. But now I'm looking at the entire family of those funds, because I've got them all in front of me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and every single one of them in one amount or another has abortion in it.
I am very shocked by that because, you can tell by the symbol.
Yes, there's more than that. I'm sorry. I see these other funds, too. So, every single one of them. And this is a fund, this is a organization that I talked to probably probably goes back 10 years. And I had a great conversation with them, but they wouldn't change. They just refused to change.
Avoid that.
So
okay, keep on going and praying for you and Trump. Okay.
Thank you, Fran.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Bye bye.
Bye bye. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Folks, we're coming on that was a very large family of funds that I was just talking to Fran about. A religious group, a family of fun. And it's a shame. I mean, it's just shocking to me when I see those things. It's very discouraging. But look, when it comes to return of our investment, when it comes to monies in general, nothing else matters. Everything's off the table. It doesn't matter. It's just the way it is. I mean, it's the world in which we live, as sad as it is. And, and these are groups like Guidestone. They don't even talk about it. It's almost like, please don't convict me. You know, I don't want to hear about it. And they think that ignorance is going to be an excuse when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They think that ignorance is going to be an excuse. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533 if you want to queue your call. By the way, the markets are not open today, so just so you keep in mind, another short trading week, so we'll see how things work, but the markets are closed, so that's why I'm not reporting about the markets. But I'll tell you this much, the Asia market closed in positive territory in a very positive way. A lot of optimism coming out of China, by the way, this optimism, not coming from here. A lot of optimism in the Chinese market in reference to U.S.-China trade. So that's very, very good news. The delegation from America, I guess they're back home. If not, they will be tomorrow if they're not home yet, but I believe they're home. Steve Mnuchin, Robert Lighthizer, and others are back. So they're back. That's good. Now, apparently, this is it. So the next move, I don't think there's a Chinese delegation that I know of. Maybe there is, coming here to the U.S., but it looks like we are just on waiting to see if President Trump and President Xi are going to meet here. They're not going to meet before the beginning of March. They've already said that, but we'll meet soon to hammer out the final details of the plan. So hopefully that will be the case. But lots of optimism coming out of China. That's good. That should be good for our markets tomorrow. Also, the European markets are up. They just suffered on Friday the worst weekly outflows out of equities than they've had in a very long time. So they've suffered from that. So it'll be interesting to note or see what is going to happen by, with all of that. So we'll see if things are getting better, but they are getting better right now. Markets are still open, and right now it's looking like they're having a very good morning. But then again, the Commerce Department submits auto tariff recommendations to President Trump. Big mistake. Don't know why they did it. Shouldn't have, but they did. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that they are going to be, if the trade tariffs are going to be made public. I'm hoping that they aren't. But anyway. I hope they're not made public, but I suppose they might be. So if they are, that's going to be a real bad thing for our market. It's going to be bad for everybody if that comes out as it looks, and if it looks like we're getting it closer to that actually happening, that would be a problem. All right, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to... Shanga calling us from South Carolina.
Dan, hi.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Dan, I was calling you to get clarity on something.
Okay.
I have a pension, and it's with Fidelity.
Okay.
And with that Fidelity account, I called them about it because right now I got specifics on it. I have about $35,000 in there, and they said if I were to take a payout, it'd be about $160 a month, but if I let it stay there until I'm 65 in about 15 more years, I'm looking at it increasing about a little over $40,000, and they said at that time I'll be looking at a payout of roughly $243 a month. And I was like, let me ask Dan, should I keep that there, or should I pull it out and put it into like a charitable gift annuity, or what's your spin about that part?
No, I would keep it. I wouldn't change anything. Yeah.
Keep it there.
I would keep it there. Yeah, definitely. Because if you pull it out, you're going to have to pay tax on it. You'd have to pay penalty on it, too, 10% penalty. So I would leave it there. I think it makes more sense. Whatever amount it is a month, there's a good possibility that it could be more than that. Is it going to be they're estimating what earnings are, and they generally are pretty conservative about that. So it could be more, but someday you're really going to want to maximize your income as much as you possibly can, and I would leave it.
Okay, because with that one, they said you have no control over whatsoever because it's in this big trust.
Right.
And
yeah.
And then they do all the finagling with that and making sure that it's
Yep, yeah. Now, you don't have any control over, but you don't necessarily want control in the sense that it's you want to make sure that you're getting that money every month.
Okay.
And so it's fine. I would probably do that rather than pay the taxes and penalty. I mean, maybe when you're 59 and a half and you're just faced with the taxes, maybe you take a look at it again, but not now.
So I have a question with that one. So the pension doesn't allow you to do a trustee transfer? You would have to take a penalty?
No, they may allow you. It depends if they may allow you to transfer, but a charitable gift annuity wouldn't qualify for that.
I got you. I got you. So it'd be investment. Okay,
yeah.
I got you. I got one more quick question. Also, we spoke about my 401k, and to liquidate it all, a part of that, well, most of it is in like mutual funds, and one of them is in a bank stock. And because I was an associate of that particular bank at one time, I got those stocks at a really good price. I know your answer to this before I even say it. So I'm like thinking, okay, so my point was, should I do an in-kind or should I just go ahead and just liquidate it and then bring it over?
So is it a publicly traded bank?
It is.
Okay.
BOA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you know if you're up in this stock? Is it something that you're very positive in? you know.
Can I tell you what the bank is?
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I'm going to say, is it Wells Fargo or?
No, Bank of America.
Bank of America. I was going to say either Wells Fargo or Bank of America.
Exactly.
Only because you're in South Carolina. I was going to say
right.
that. Bank of Wells Fargo is mostly North Carolina. But anyway, right. Yeah, I mean, they're not biblically responsible.
Yeah.
I think Bank of America stock has done pretty good this year.
They have.
I am not a fan of big banks stock.
No, you're not. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I would probably sell it, transfer it over as cash, and then reallocate it.
Okay, because I have 900 and something shares of that, and I've been there like 20-something years, so I've gotten it at a pretty good price. I said, let me just find out if I should.
Yeah, I mean, it
ride.
Doesn't, like, because it's in that 401k, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, either way, you're going to have to pay tax on that money when you take it out. It's not going to change that. Only thing it's going to do right now, if it's up considerably, is it's going to put more money in your account, you know, because
yeah.
you're going to be able to generate more. But it's not like you're faced with capital gains tax or anything like that. So I would do it. Yeah, I would do that.
So just liquidate it or bring it over?
Well, it depends if they charge you to sell it.
Right.
So if they're going to charge you a lot of money to sell it where it is, if you're going to end up getting a $3,000 bill, you know, then bring it over in kind and sell it in your brokerage account for $4.95.
Very good point. Very good.
So, yeah, I would find out what that's all about.
Okay, and my very last question, and thank you so much for taking all these questions from me. I have TD Ameritrade, I have funds there, and
okay.
I have Fidelity. When liquidating my 401k, which one of those should I put my funds in? Because that's going to be the bulk of my retirement is going there.
I don't think it matters, to be honest with you. I think that either way, I would do whatever. You already have a Fidelity account.
I have both of them.
Oh,
I have
you
Fidelity,
do?
Which is where my pension is with Fidelity, and then I have a TD Ameritrade. That's another account that I have.
Okay. Yeah, I would go whichever one you think's the most user-friendly. I mean, probably TD Ameritrade. I don't think it matters because who you're trading with is somewhat irrelevant to how well you do or don't do. It's going to be based on what you put in it, you know, and you're going to put in it what you're going to put in it no matter where you are, whether it's Fidelity or TD Ameritrade. TD Ameritrade is not going to allow you to do things that Fidelity wouldn't. Fidelity is not going to allow you to do things that TD Ameritrade won't. So it's not like there is a benefit just in case you want to buy bank CDs. You know, you want to be here because they're going to let you do it. You're going to be able to do that and anything else you want to do in either place.
Exactly. Okay, very well. Well, my investments can be solely based around your jurisdiction on what you have for the various modules.
Okay.
Based upon the age, you know,
yep,
breakdown.
Yep.
So that's what I'm going to be governing it by. So
okay.
I'm sticking to that once I get it all said and done.
Good, good.
So, yes, indeed.
Yeah, so you'll be fine either way. I would, you know, go with the one you feel most comfortable with.
Got it. Thank you, Dan. You're the greatest.
Have You're welcome. I appreciate it. Thanks for
Thank
your call.
You,
All right.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For
Bye-bye.
Your partnership. God bless. 844-707-5533. I'll remind you again. So when my wife asked me, I can be honest and say, yes, I did. Did you talk about the retreat today? Yes, I did. I talked about the retreat. So I'm talking about the retreat. Listen, make sure you check it out, financialissues.org. It seems to be going on weekends. I don't know. I guess everybody's sitting around in their coffee in the morning, relaxed on Saturday morning and trying to make these decisions. And that's good. But this weekend, a good weekend. So if you are thinking about registering, make sure you do it before it fills up. You won't regret it. It is an unbelievable time. We have so much fun. We're going to have so much fellowship.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. 5533. Folks, listen, we have got to save this pregnancy center, New York City, Jamaica section of Queens. It is the third, I think Dan Steiner was on, I think it's the third largest area for abortions in America. And there is a woman that started this center on a, fully funded it through her retirement, and she's paid the bills and has done what she can to keep this open, and she needs help. And preborn is giving her that ultrasound machine. They've already done that. And we're trying to keep this open. We're raising money. It looks like what we're trying to raise is going to last about 2 years so she can keep working that center. It's desperately needed up there. So I hope that you will get a hold of preborn.org. So that center, there's right on their website, preborn.org, there's a banner, New York City Center, and you can click on that and make your contributions. If you go to financialissues.org, you can find that's more important than anything else I'm talking about. And this coming when we're reading about South Carolina and the great job they did in the Senate to approve a bill that bans all abortions. And, you know, you know, it's just such a, and here's how they banned it. They declared an unborn baby a person. We've been doing that for a long time. So the Senate now of South Carolina recognizes that a baby is a person. So therefore the laws would apply to the baby. Laws like you can't murder someone would apply to this baby. And, you know, I have such a heart for this. And I also have such a heart for it because I know right now there's someone listening to me that is now saved by the blood of Jesus that has had an abortion, or a man maybe that has encouraged it or has paid for it or whatever the situation. I know that. And, you know, you are so you are so blessed by the fact that you can share the pain of this. You know it. I pray that God is rising up in you a will to want to minister to others that are going through this. But now you know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, it's easy. It's easy. You just got to give your life to Jesus. And you can go to our resource tab on the website and click. All you've got to do is you go to the resource tab, and there's a section under there that says, do you want to know God, with a question mark, and you click on that and follow it. But, you know, you're not, there is nothing we can do to separate ourselves from God if we're willing to accept his salvation, his free gift of salvation. So you go to that, go to the resource tab, click on Do You Want to Know God if you don't. But ask God too, as you pray a prayer of salvation, that he would raise up in you the will to continue to minister to others that have gone through the same struggle that you have. So we've got to save this center, preborn.org, or go to our website and click on the banner so that we can help this center in New York City. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Judy. Judy's calling us from Virginia. Hi, Judy.
Hey, Dan. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And you're doing God's work. I wish we had leaders in Virginia like they do in South Carolina.
Man, me too. Wow.
Yeah. Your caller 2 calls ago got me to thinking about mutual funds I've already owned. How do I tell if they're investing in abortion?
Well, if you go to my website, financialissues.org, and right in the front page, to the right, scroll down, because you get this thing, I don't know, picture or whatever it is in the front, but you got to scroll down. But on the right, there's you'll see a little banner, a little block for the retreat. Under that, there's a thing that looks like a spoke with a wheel with spokes on it. And if and it says screen your investments, and you click on that, and you need to know the symbol of your mutual fund. So you'll click on that and put the symbol in, and it'll tell you what that it's, you know, 20% in violation or 30% or whatever it is. And then if you click on, I wish I knew, I think it's report, or you click for more information after you do that, it'll tell you that they're involved in things like abortion or the entertainment industry, pornography, basically, that they're involved in or whatever it is. They'll give you some of the areas that they're in violation of.
Okay, great. Well, I'll do that then.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Judy. I sure appreciate it. God bless.
Bye-bye.
844-707-5533. You know, we just got that on this year, at the end of last year. We finally got that on the website, and it is a great tool. And you know what? It's so nice because it has helped Pat out, because Pat is not screening those calls, all those calls when people say, can you tell me if this is biblically responsible? So now it's easy for you to do it. Just go to the website. You don't have to be a partner to do it. It's open to everybody. So do that. You don't have to be a partner to call in the program. You know, you hear people say, I partner with the ministry. We appreciate that. That's great. It encourages other people to partner. That's why I let people say that. You know, it's an encouragement to other people. But you can just... You know, call in here if you have any question at all about what we do, how we do it, or some of your investments or whatever it might be. Please don't hesitate. You call in. This isn't a program for our partners. This is a program for everybody out there. So I hope that you'll call in. Let me go to Lynn. Lynn is calling from North Carolina. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, I have just discovered you guys on the radio.
Oh, man, where have you been, Lynn?
I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you found us.
I'm so excited.
Good.
I am about to turn 70.
Okay.
And I know absolutely nothing about investments or anything like that. Where do I start? I mean, I've picked up different books over the years.
Mm-hmm.
My mind doesn't work that way. So
yeah,
it's really
I know.
A learning curve for me.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have an IRA or 401k that you're?
No.
No. Okay. So, have you started collecting Social Security yet? I guess you have, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I get about $1,500 a month from Social Security. Business, corporate, I guess, career, made pretty good money, but the last company did not honor the their financial agreement with me. But anyway, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But so our retirement income right now is going to be my husband's state pension, which will be in about 8 or 10 years mm-hmm. before he retires. And then the two Social Securities. We do have some savings in a, it's a life insurance policy, but it's part of the Bank on You, Bank on Yourself network.
Okay.
So, but that's pretty much it. But I feel like there's some other things we could be doing.
Yeah.
Even at this late date.
So do you pay into the life insurance still?
Yes.
Okay.
We pay extra into it.
Okay.
And we've been pretty pleased with it, and would probably leave that where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's other things that we could do, and I can free up money to do some other things.
Okay. So here's what the first thing I would tell you is just to, as a kind of a heads up thing, because it'll probably be some years. But you notice you're obviously on the life insurance thing. You're accumulating some money there.
Right.
And in the next 4 or 5 years, you know, at some point in time, make sure that every year you look at your end statement and your year-end statement, compare it to your last year's. But there will be a point in time where that will start to decrease, not go up. I know they tell you that's never going to happen, all that, but I'm just kind of giving you a heads up to watch that.
Okay.
When that happens, then at that point in time, you've got to think about doing something with that money, because once it starts, it's going to only get worse.
Okay.
So, and what you don't want is to be paying into this for a long period of time, and all of a sudden, when you're 85 or whatever, you get a bill saying, if you want to keep your life insurance, you got to pay this $14,000 premium or something.
Right.
You don't, and because it keeps going down. So be very careful. That just keep an eye on that and watch it.
Okay.
Aside from that, that one of the things that you want to do is just save for now. And once you get beyond savings that you think you can start investing a little bit, then what you're going to do is open up an investment account. I want you to keep listening. Oh, you might not be able to. I don't know if you get the third hour where you are, but I can put you on hold so you keep listening, because I'm right up against this hour. I didn't realize it.
Yeah, do that, please.
Okay.
I've got another question.
All right, I'll do it. Folks, you're listening to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. If you've got a run, I hope you have a wonderful day. Remember, we will stand before him someday. Let's stand before him and be found a good and faithful steward. Have a great day. God bless. More Financial Issues right after this.